I've been super blessed this morning because what I have to share with you has already been shared. But you're going to hear it again because God knows that you don't always remember first time. Would we all agree with that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If I have to entitle this anything, then it's all about truth. And we've heard so much this morning about truth and what truth does and the impact that it has on our lives. So our first scripture, very, very well-known scripture, is John 14, verse 6. And in this scripture, Jesus is actually answering a question that Thomas raised. So if you want to look at the verse before, you will see that I am telling the truth. But Jesus answered and said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then it goes on to say, in my Bible, there's little headings, and it says that Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. So if we pop down John 14 down to verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. That's good news.
Amen.
He's going to be with you forever.
Amen.
And who is it? Verse 17, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. Not lies, but truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you will know him. You will know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. Isn't that great news? That you will know him and that he will live in you and will be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. That's why we can walk in truth. Because the Spirit of Truth is in us. Not in our flesh, but in our born-again spirit. The Spirit of Truth. And that is why we need to make these choices, Sarah. You could only make that choice because the Spirit of Truth was in you and the Spirit led you to make that choice.
Amen.
The Spirit of Truth. Let's go down to verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. All things. He's not going to leave anything out.
Amen.
He's going to teach you all things. And then it goes on to say, and will remind you of everything I have said to you. That's good news for those of us whose memory is not that great. We don't have to remember in our minds because it's in our spirit of truth. And it's from our spirit that God will remind us by his spirit of everything that he has said. Isn't that great? You are a walking concordance.
Hallelujah.
In your spirit. In your spirit. And you are able to draw from your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And say, Lord, remind me of that. Remind me of that truth that you shared with me last month. Because I need to be reminded of that, Lord. Because you see, in our own minds, we forget. But the truth is in our spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 27, beautiful, says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Because do you know what? The world's peace isn't true peace. It's a temporary, partial peace which you can have for a moment, and then in the next moment it's gone. But we have got the Prince of Peace dwelling inside of us forever. And then he goes on to say, "Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid." You can't be troubled in your spirit of truth. You cannot be troubled in your spirit of truth. And in your spirit of truth, you will not be afraid. Because your spirit is perfect.
That's right.
Your spirit is only truth. Only truth. When I think back to creation, I just think that it's amazing that the spirit that was with God hovering around when everything was going to be spoken forth into being, that that's the same spirit that we've got. That's how powerful the spirit is. Bringing that creativity, bringing that life from nothing, bringing light out of darkness, bringing life out of a void. That's the power of the spirit that's in you and me. Wow. I'm excited about that. And that same spirit that dwelt in Jesus is in you and me. And this scripture is not coming up on the board, but if you're taking notes, take a note of John 3:34. Because there's a great truth in this verse that says, "For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. And to him, God gives the Spirit without limit."
Amen.
Wow.
Yep.
You and I have got the Spirit without limit. Amen. But I wonder, do we limit the Spirit in our flesh, in our minds, in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our emotions? Do we limit the Spirit? And yet we have the Spirit without limit. The same as Jesus. Wow, that's powerful. That is so powerful. Let's look now at John 16, verse 12. John 16, verse 12. Jesus says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear." And I believe that Jesus would say that to you and me today. Because he doesn't want to give you it all today. Because he knows how much you can bear. And that's why we need to stay close to him. Because every moment of every day he's wanting to whisper something else. He's wanting to impart more truth. "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth."
Yeah.
Isn't that great? That the Spirit will only guide you into truth. That the Spirit will keep you from lies. That the Spirit will keep you safe. "He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come." Wow.
Amen.
Do you realize that that's inside of you?
Yeah.
Wow. verse 14. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The Spirit reveals it to me and you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. We have so much to be thankful for. So, so much to be thankful for. The Spirit of truth can only work through truth. The Spirit cannot lie. The Spirit cannot lie. The Spirit will only say what the Father tells him to say. And it will only be truth. Truth direct from the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is totally separate from sin. Holy Spirit is sinless. That's why we can't know the Spirit in our flesh. Because the flesh is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. We will not understand the Spirit in our flesh. It is an impossibility. So quit wasting time and energy trying to understand the things of God with your human mind, because you cannot do it. Amen. You cannot do it. The enemy wants to deceive you into believing that you can do it that way. Because you know what? That's when he's got a hold of you. And then he just causes havoc. But we're going to learn how to deal with that. And it's all through the truth that you know. The same Spirit that lives in Jesus lives in you and me. Amen. When we accept him into our heart as our Lord and our Saviour. And let's look at Ephesians 1:13. I love the book of Ephesians, and I'm really, really enjoying what Andrew is bringing out from Ephesians. It doesn't matter which chapter you look at, there's just so, so much great stuff in there. And in Ephesians 1 verse 13 it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." That "you" is talking about you. Yep. So you also were included.
Amen.
Yes?
Yep.
You need to believe that you were included.
Yep.
Don't think this is for everyone else except you. No, this is including you. You were included at that time. "Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." Wow. Great stuff. So having believed, you now have this wonderful Spirit that comes and lives inside of you. And with the seal of his presence, you've got a guarantee.
Yeah.
And that guarantee has been extended into eternity.
Amen.
If you were going out buying a new washing machine, or a new TV, or any other electrical item, it seems to be nowadays. When you buy an item new, it comes with a guarantee. It's usually just a 12-month guarantee. And all of the businesses all want you to buy an extended guarantee for 5 years, so that if anything happens to your item within the 5 years, then they'll replace it. But you and I have got an eternally extended guarantee because of the blood of Jesus on the cross at Calvary. He paid for your extended guarantee. You don't have to pay for it. Wow. And that guarantee will not fail. Because that guarantee is a guarantee of truth. It's reliable, it's dependable, it's trustworthy. And that's the guarantee that you have by the power of the Holy Spirit through which you have been sealed. You're sealed. Hallelujah. As we all grow in our discipline of studying the Word, we're continuing to saturate ourselves in the truth. That's what we're doing when we read the Word. We're allowing the truth of the Word to enter in. And it's entering in not into here, not even into our heart, but into our spirit. We're feeding our spirit. And our spirit is hungry and thirsty and just being so excited because of the good food that your spirit's receiving. We have to saturate ourselves in the truth. Because of the more of the truth we're saturated in, the more we will be aware of any lies or deceit. When we know the truth and are presented with something false, we will immediately recognise that it's not truth. A few weeks ago when Chris Cree was sharing, he spoke about how people... he was referring to counterfeit money. And that the way to recognise counterfeit money isn't to study counterfeit money. You study the real money so that when you are presented with something that is not real, then you know it is not real. And that's what the Holy Spirit of truth is doing for you and me. The Holy Spirit enables us to discern what is truth and what is not truth. The Holy Spirit shows us whether it's of God or whether it's not of God. It's the Holy Spirit that does this. That's another thing we need to be thankful for. Because the more we are aware of the truth, the more we will be aware of a lie. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
right. I'm not talking about lies today because there's a whole sermon in lies itself. I'm talking about truth, so I'm not going to be sidelined. There's a scripture, again, if you're taking notes, write it down. It's not coming up on the board. 1 John 2, verse 20. And I was reminded of this by the Spirit, I believe. It's a great scripture. But you need to believe this, as I need to believe it. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. So here's a question. How many of you truly believe you have an anointing from the Holy One?
Yep.
How many of you believe that you know the truth? Are you staying there all the time? Or are you having a wee waver? Are we going along a zigzaggy road instead of going the straight road? Food for thought. But if you are a believer, then you need to believe that you have an anointing. And you need to believe that you know the truth. Because in knowing these things, it keeps you on that straight line. And it stops you from going off in a tangent, in a direction that God does not want you to go on because it is not good for you. God wants you to stick to his path. He wants you to stick to his ways. He wants you to stick to his truths. Because that is what's going to take you into your extended eternity. Guaranteed. Hallelujah. So it's the Holy Spirit who is our teacher of truth. And he will help us to know the truth and discern the false. That is why, even in Scripture, we're called to test the spirits. And if you want to gain insight and understanding into that, then I would encourage you to read 1 John 4, because I don't have time to go there today. But 1 John 4 will give you insight and understanding in our need to test the spirits. We have to be aware that not everything we hear or read about the Word of God is the truth.
Yeah, so true.
And that's our individual responsibility, to check it out with the Word of God. Hallelujah. There are many false things being spoken of God and being spoken about his word. And you know what? It's causing confusion. Yeah. And it's not healthy. But it's only as you and I study the word and grow in our knowing of the one true God, then you will know the truth. And what happens when we know the truth? The truth will set you free. Hallelujah. John 8:31. Jesus is speaking. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." So are you holding on to his teaching? Then you're really his disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free to live, just like what Margaret gave testimony of. You'll be set free to live because of the truth. But it's the lies of the enemy that want to steal, kill, and destroy. So what are you going to believe? Are you believing the truth? And are you keeping away from the lies that want to deceive you into believing the lies? That's where the Holy Spirit brings the discernment, because the Holy Spirit will show you very clearly through the Word of God what is truth. Truth is just so important. So, so important. As we read it and study it and gain understanding and revelation, and as we hold it dearly, and as we live it out in our daily lives, you will see and you will know the truth of the Word leading and guiding you into all that God has got for you. And you will fulfill his plans and purposes, and you will reach that expected end. God has got an expected end for you, and he's expecting you to continue in his ways so that that guarantee will come to pass. The only way a believer will not make it as if they give up. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to lose their salvation, right? So don't stone me. I'm just saying it's our responsibility to continue to walk in his ways and to obey his commands, for that's where the guarantee says you'll get there. But if I decide, you know what, I'm finished with all of this, I'm having nothing more to do with it. You know, you just have to think, well, what's the consequences of that? And you might have a different opinion to me, so I'm not giving you my opinion, because my opinion might not be the truth. If you want the truth in that, then you study the Word and see what the Word says. Hallelujah. Let me go to a great scripture. They're all great, but this is a really great one. Hebrews 4. From this scripture, we're going to see how God wants to help us every moment of every day. And that he's already made something available to you and me. But it's whether or not we take a hold and whether or not we use it. And God won't make us do anything. He just wants us to love him so much that we will follow his ways and obey his instructions. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Next verse. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Wow. Maybe we need to remember that in the secret places. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You're responsible for the account that you're going to have to give one day, just as I'm responsible for the account that I'm going to have to give one day. As a young Christian, I remember learning that the sword that is being spoken about here, the double-edged sword, is the word by the Spirit. So you have the word, word, and you put the Spirit before it, the S, and it makes sword. And that's what I learned as a very young Christian, and that really helped me to understand that the word of God by the Spirit is truly a sword. And when you're reading the word of God, you're wielding a sword. The Spirit and the word of truth are the sword that you and I need to use on a daily basis. We have to wield that sword on a daily basis. The word by the Spirit, a double-edged sword. In Ephesians 6, verse 17, we are told to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But I want to look at what the sword really is. I want to bring out the power of the sword, which is the word by the Spirit. The term sword here is a Greek word, which I have no idea if I'm pronouncing it correctly or not. So for the Greek scholars who are maybe hearing this, please forgive me. It looks like makarai. And this Greek word for the sword, it is a very deadly and frightful weapon. Wow. It's a deadly and a frightful weapon. And it can inflict a wound far worse than any other sword that was available to the Roman soldiers at that time. Because it was double-edged, I'm not going into any gory details here, but believe me, it makes a mess when it is penetrated into something. It's a very powerful weapon. And this is the same weapon that you and I have. This is a weapon that destroys the enemy. Amen. That's the powerful weapon that you and I have got. The word of God, the word of truth, by the Spirit. It's powerful. It is powerful. It has a razor-sharp power to slash our enemies to shreds. Wow. Are we wielding that power? John, even when John was praying for people before I came up, What John was actually doing was he was wielding the sword. He was cutting people off from fear, from worry, from concerns, from anxiety, from sickness, illness. Whatever it is that's coming against us, we need to wield the sword. It's the sword that's got the power and the authority. It's not you and me. It's not you and me. We only have the authority because of the Spirit living in us. So we have the sword being the deadly weapon by the Spirit. And the word, that's the quickened word of God. That's the Greek word, rhema. The rhema word of God. And when we have that rhema word of God, knowing that it's the truth, when it's quickened to our spirits, we have to do something with it. We're endued with that power and that authority, and we wield it. We use it because it's powerful and effective to the destroying of everything that is contrary to what the word says. A great example of a quickened word, you'll find it in Luke 4, where Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness. The enemy comes to him. And how does Jesus respond? He comes with a word of truth. And he gives it to the devil. Because Jesus knows it's truth. He knows the power that is in the truth of the word of God. And he had the authority. And he used it. The enemy was a bit silly. He came back 3 times. But you know what? Eventually he got the message and he fled. And the enemy will be the same with you and me. You can maybe tell him to go in Jesus' name. But then if your emotions and your feelings and thoughts and your heart are not where they should be, he'll come back. So what are you going to do when he comes back? Are you going to wield the sword? We have the power to defeat our enemies. Amen. And it's the word of God by the Spirit. Yep. It's the truth of the word by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus knew the power of the word. I wonder if we do. He is the word made flesh. He is the way and the truth and the life. Just as we read earlier, he is greater than any enemy. Yeah. And he understood the power and the authority that he held. And that he was quickened by the Spirit to use it. And you and I will be quickened by the Spirit when we listen to him, when we avail ourselves to him, and when we just allow him to flow freely. You and I have that same power inside of us. And that is just truly amazing. The word of truth, quickened by the Spirit, it is a sword in your hand. It is a sword in your hand with power and authority over the enemy and anything that comes against the word of God. You remember in Hebrews it says that it penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. These are all the emotional things that we go through. And yet the sword penetrates through these too, because in reality the flesh is our enemy. The flesh is our enemy. And God will not deliver you from your friends. He will deliver you from your enemies.
That's right.
That was a Derek Prince teaching that went back years ago. So the things that are coming against us, we need to see them as our enemies. And we need to believe that God will deliver us from our enemies. But we need to be the ones wielding the sword. Because it's the truth of the Word of God by the power of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's just close with a prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that today that you have taught us by your Spirit and that you are helping us all to hold on to the truth of your Word and to know the power and the authority that comes from that Word. That we would do that, Father, at all times, through all issues and through all difficulties. And that you would teach us, Father, to use the sword of the Spirit with that power and authority against everything that is contrary to your Word. Lord, we thank you for teaching us the way of truth. And I pray, Father God, that you will be glorified in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you and bless you.